This is Mae Brussel on KAZU FM in Pacific Grove, California. This is side two of broadcast number 610, August 15th, 1983. Incidentally, the articles that I'm quoting here, one is from the British Guardian. That's from Ted Rubenstein up in the Bay Area, who's doing marvelous work. He gets us Italian articles and British articles and things from newspapers that we couldn't get otherwise and shares them with us and goes to the library every week and newsstands and picks these up. And the quotations I have are from New Times, a subscription that I was learned about. I learned it from somebody in Canada who was taking that magazine, and I wasn't able to obtain it, didn't know how, and finally I'm taking that. And these sources come from all over the world from different people, and it's interesting to get this feedback, you know, or the input, rather, and then assimilate it and get a picture of the overview from all these various people who do send articles and books. And I try to thank you individually, but collectively I'll thank you one more time. Now, getting back to the British Guardian, on the basis of power, of this triangle of power that they refer to, this article quotes a fellow named Elio Cioline, C-I-O-L-I-N-I. He was arrested in August 1882. He's a financier who worked with the Monte Carlo branch of the P2, the Freemason, with Licio Gelli, the Grand Master, and he was picked up for his role in the railway massacre in 1980 at Bologna, B-O-L-O-G-N-A. 85 people were killed, and this was done by fascists who dropped the bomb. I haven't yet learned why they did the bombing. The world's international fascist network did it, but they never explained why they targeted that area, or I've never seen it, or who was there at the time. But what Cioline revealed when he was arrested, that the meeting to do the bombing attack was planned in Monte Carlo at the P2 Lodge. Now, keep in mind, when Licio Gelli fled Italy, he went to Monte Carlo and had safe haven there under Grace Kelly and the Vatican connections of the Monte Carlo Lodge. And the day he was arrested, after he went to Argentina, came back to Switzerland the next day, Grace Kelly was dead and Bashir Jamal were dead. We'll update those on the anniversary of their deaths in September. But Mr. Cioline said the plans for the bombing were in that particular area, and the meeting was attended by Licio Gelli, the Grand Master. Now, April 1980 is the year that Robert Durand was first arrested by the DEA, who began to trigger off the tips on Hetrick that triggered off DeLorean. He'd bring down Mr. Hoffman and DeLorean and so forth. This was in April 1980, the same time that Durand was arrested or fingered by the DEA. Now, Cioline told about the meeting, and he mentioned five other people involved with Licio Gelli and himself: Stephen Della Chiaie, C-H-I-A-I-E, and Pierluigi Pagliai. I can't pronounce Italian very well. I'll spell it P-I-E-R-L-U-G-I, P-A-G-I. L-I-A-I. He's now dead. He was picked up in South America. He was going to be sent to Italy for trial. He died in Rome. The third was Alfredo Graniti, G-R-A-N-I-T-I. The other one was Mauricio, M-A-U-R-I-Z-I-O, Giorgi, G-I-O-R-G-I. I'm spelling these out for you, and you have sheets that accompany this broadcast. Or if you hear it on the air, you can send a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll give you these names because the names will appear later in other articles. And Olivier Danet, D-A-N-E-T, he's a Frenchman from the international network of fascists with Licio Gelli and the Grand Masonic Lodge. He's been arrested. And a German, Joachim Fiebelkorn, F-I-E-B-E-L-C-O-R-N, and he went down to work with Klaus Barbie. He's from Germany. And he worked with Licio Gelli. Now, three of these men that planned the bombing in Italy and the violence for the Nazi terrorism in Italy went down to work for Klaus Barbie, so that Licio Gelli's planning of the Grand Masonic Lodge and Klaus Barbie were directly linked to Della Chiaie, to Pagliai, and Fiebelkorn. If you pardon my pronunciation. Okay, now these three formed a private army set up by Klaus Barbie in Bolivia. And their role, besides international murder all over the world, was to protect the cocaine traffic And Barbie with the cocaine used that traffic to fund military regimes and put the military governments in power. Then it went on to fund the anti-Castro Cubans and the Mafia and the Cubans down in Miami, Florida. So Barbie from 1970-71, when Richard Nixon was in office, he was working with the anti-Castro Cubans, with the Watergators, E. Howard Hunt, and Frank Sturgis, Frank Fiorini. All of those gangs were involved in the murder of Kennedy, were linked to the narcotics and the Central Intelligence Agency and that Miami network, the anti-Castro Cubans. We're all tied together with that ball of wax that was a fascist element that G. Gordon Liddy was studying, the Gestapo, with Mr. Mardian of the Justice Department, and they were pro-German. And, of course, in that Miami connection of the triangle, Nixon was funded by Michael Sandana, allegedly $1 million. President Ronald Reagan had Licio Gelli, close worker with Barbie and Sandona and Calvi at his inauguration. And now Paul Exalt runs the GOP and has the campaign funds. He was the governor of Las Vegas with the mob connections to these various people. And then it trickles down to the board of directors of 20th Century Fox, such as William Rogers with the Resorts International and the Bahama banking and drug connections and Intertel and on down to those banks in Hollywood that I mentioned last week and the various characters there. Now, Claus Barbie worked with these people, and they were tight with the Miami anti-Castro Cubans in Florida. And in the early 70s, with the help of the Masonic fascist and Licio Gelli's team, he set up for the Bolivian dictator, Colonel Hugo Banzer, B-A-N-Z-E-R, the Fiancés of Death. This is out of the British Guardian, the terror network of Claus Barbie. These were for political assassinations down in Bolivia with murders, listed murders, Marcello Quiroga. Now we go from the Latin to the Spanish, Q-U-I-R-O-G-A, Quiroga Cruz, C-R-U-Z, a socialist leader. And of course, they were behind the CIA and Claus Barbie, the murder of Che Guevara in Bolivia. And they helped General Garcia Meza in 1980 become into power as the general there, and then the interior minister was Colonel Arc, A-C-R-E, Gomez, G-O-M-E-Z. And that's the Gomez family that is into the cocaine traffic, that really run the cocaine traffic down there. And Claus Barbie parlayed his fortunes in his shipping line with weapons and torture and these interconnecting links with Della Chaye and so forth. In October 82, when a new government was formed and the socialist government came in, these people scrambled and went to Argentina and Brazil. And Della Chaye had helped Claus Barbie recruit mercenaries, and he is the most notorious right-wing terrorist from Italy and Madrid who went on down there. He tried to get a coup, a fascist coup in 1970 with Prince Cuneo Borghese, B-O-R-G-H-E-S-E, right out of the Permandex Foundation, and he worked in Madrid setting up terrorist organizations. He led the Christ of King terrorist group, identified by the Spanish police as the Guerrillas of Christ the King, responsible for murders and assassinations. And when Franco died in 1977, he went down to South America. He had worked with at these meetings, going back and forth into Monte Carlo and Italy, and Europe with Licio Gelli, and he also worked with Claus Barbie in South America and tried to escape. As I say, when the government changed hands, he's still out on the loose. Now, closely associated with them was Jose Lopez, L-O-P-E-Z, Rega, R-E-G-A, and he heads up the AAA, that's not the automobile club, in Argentina. So that's the death squad in Argentina. It's called the Argentine Anti-Communist Alliance, where 30 to 40,000 are dead. So Claus Barbie in Bolivia set up the Fiancés of Death. Stephen Della Chaye came from Spain to Bolivia and back to Monte Carlo, working with Licio Gelli and the Nazis of South America, Italy, Spain, France, and Germany, with his guerrillas of Christ the King and Mr. Lopez Rega, with Argentina death squads, all of them closely associated not only with Barbie, but Licio Gelli, who left, walked out with help from the bank, the Swiss bank, the Swiss jail. It's literally a bank. It's a joke. He stayed there till it was time for him to be having a hearing to go to Italy. They want him for a list of various charges in Italy, including taking billions of dollars of gas tax money down to South America to Argentina, where he had dual citizenship. Now, according to the British Guardian, the Argentine AAA and the death squads were organized along with cocaine smuggling ring to the United States of America. So Licio Gelli and this gang at Klaus Barbie were heavy into not only the Vatican Bank and the Vatican affairs with Gelli's connections and the Opus Dei. They were working, Licio Gelli, Roberta Calvi, and Michael Sindona, with American politics, with Italian politics. They funded money into Greece and goodness knows where else. And they were a conduit to overthrow the Italian elections through Carlo Bordini, and money into Greece funded from conduits from the CIA and the fascist organizations into Greece. Sindona was working with American mafia and with the Vatican and Vatican banks and with the Klaus Barbie Licio Gelli connection. So that this article in the British Guardian at the time of Barbie's arrest goes into the details of Licio Gelli, Roberta Calvi, Michael Sindona, the laundered foreign currency, the powerful Italian political business interests, how the government in Italy was trying to trace that $2.4 billion that disappeared without a trace. And they mentioned the possibility the money went to Poland to Solidarity. There was one figure in another article of $50 million, possibility that went by way of Peru to Argentina for the Falklands War. And Michael Sindona said it went to right-wing groups in Latin America. So while the Pope gives speeches at Lourdes about oppression or poverty, he is sending money through the Vatican banks and through his primary agents to the dictatorships that keep the people impoverished. Now, Flavio Carboni, mentioned in this article in February 1983, was Roberta Calvi's friend. He had helped him escape to London in June of 82. He's been charged with criminal conspiracy of laundering money, of kidnap ransoms, robberies, frauds, drug traffic. He's wanted for the attempted murder of Robert Rosone, the vice president of Banco Ambrosiano. Another co-worker with Roberta Calvi, Licio Gelli, and Michael Sindona, and even suspect in the murder of Roberta Calvi, his friend, in order to keep the story quiet about where the money went if Calvi was going to get out of Italy with the secrets. Now, when Licio Gelli was arrested in September 82, he was trying to draw out, according to this one story, $140 million, transferring him from Banco Ambrosiano in Latin America. He was charged with criminal conspiracy, fraud, espionage, and extortion. The problem with bringing in Licio Klaus Barbie, as one of the articles says, is that they focused the attention on what he did during the war by killing Mr. Moulin, M-O-U-L-I-N, the head of the French resistance as a Gestapo leader, the head of the Gestapo in Lyon, and deporting women and children to the gas camps. But that was in 1944, 45, starting 43 in France. But nothing is really mentioned about trying any of these men for these murderous death squads. They ignore the corpses that fell, by the way, by Mr. Jose Lopez Rega and his 3A in Argentine, Stephen Delachaye and the Guerrillas of Christ the King, and Klaus Barbie, the Fiancés of Death. And the important thing is that all of those men work in conjunction with the Central Intelligence Agency, the Vatican banks, and the narcotics traffic around the world, and the death squads that keep people as slaves, keep them impoverished. Not only the native populations that they kill off, every person that wants a social change, but what about the victims of the narcotics that are killed or neutralized in terms of occupations and so forth? Now, the New Times article that I got, it was February 1983, was a two-part article on Klaus Barbie, one on his involvement in France, and the other was, the second part, part two, is called The Double Life of the Butcher of Lyon. And I'll mention that part tonight and do the other part another time, because it goes into how Barbie became the cocaine king, and the question remains open. Did William Hetrick and John DeLorean, with the Hollywood connections, the offshore banking, the Vatican connections, Because when John DeLorean was arrested, Time magazine said he was going to St. Patrick's every day, and Cardinal Cook and J. Peter Grace and the Vatican banks are very closely tied, of course, to St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. And DeLorean was very active in overpraying, I should say, if he went as frequently as they said he did. It may or may not be true, but he was close to the church, and now he's grabbing the Bible as a born-again Christian. A person close to the DeLorean family was explaining that to me. I didn't understand how Catholics get to be born-again Christians. I thought maybe only the Protestants did, but he explained, no, that they do, in fact, take on a second birth and go through the ritual. So the Bible is the thing that Christina DeLorean clutches, and he clutches in hopes that all the other mysterious connections and missing money won't be put together, much less what the narcotics do to people on the streets, that they would turn over an entire car company for $60 million worth of heroin, and dealing with Nazis and fascists and world network of criminals and mass murderers, and then disseminating this juicy stuff to kill other lives and muggings to get drug money and hospitalizations and Medicare and transients on the streets zonked out from the drugs. The cost of the drugs has never been estimated in terms of lives and bodies and inability to work, to be able to get to a job, and so forth. But getting back to the cocaine connections of Klaus Barbie, another article, a third part, this New Times, The Double Life of the Butcher of Lyon, part two of the New Times article in February 83, said in 1951 there was a metamorphosis of Klaus Barbie. He was in the U.S. area, protected in the U.S. zone in Germany from 1945 to 1951. Then he changes his name to Klaus Altman, A-L-T-M-A-N-N. He goes down to Bolivia where he goes into a business, and according to Stern magazine, it was a woodworking plant or a sawmill. Then he becomes part of a shipping company that he owns called Transmarima Boliviana. Marima, just like it sounds, T-R-A-N-S-M-A-R-I-M-A, Boliviana, with subsidiaries in Lima, Peru, close to the whole operation of cocaine traffic and fascism in South America, and in Hamburg, West Germany, which is home base for Klaus Barbie Altman. He has a Bolivian citizenship under the new name. He has a new passport. He has immunity. He visits Germany and France, the United States, using a German South American bank, the Hapag firm, H-A-P-A-G. Barbie was active in every coup in Bolivia from the time he arrived there in 1951. He helped with abortive coups. He helped them, these drug dealers, cocaine dealers, get into power. He helped purchase arms for repressive regimes. He purchased 100 tanks for Bolivia. He transported them on his Transmarina Boliviana company, shipping tanks and guns and narcotics out and guns in to fascist dictatorships in South America. He was an advisor on police technique with Hugo Banzer, the Minister of the Interior in Bolivia. He showed them how to do dirty work, interrogation, and torture, identical to the Gestapo in France before he began to work for the CIA. He was close to Colonel Louis R. Gomez, A-R-C-E, Gomez, once the chief of military intelligence in Bolivia, and the Gomez family are active in the cocaine trade. Gomez went through the U.S. military school in Panama. There's a book out by Penny Lernaux, L-E-R-N-A-U-X. I don't have it, but maybe I can obtain it, called The Cry of the People, United States Involvement in the Rise of Fascism. And this article in New Times quotes this book, how from 1950 to 1975, and that's the time period the Barbie left Germany and went to Bolivia, 70,000 Latin America army officers and police were trained by the United States. And Rand Corporation justified that it would foster anti-communism, I guess, to use torture and murder and death squads. And the training included people from the SS, Gestapo. The CIA and the SS were combined through Barbie, through the Bridegrooms of Death in Bolivia, and this became what this one article describes as an invisible government with huge funds for terrorist groups, kidnapping, torture, night bombs, landmines, prison, disappearances. The number of people dead there is not available. the 3A in Argentina, there were 30 to 50,000, up to 30,000 murdered or disappearing, and they admitted that they were murdered. And their demonstrations every week of parents rotating around the capital there to show pictures of their children or family members. Now, this new time says that Barbie had special detachments that came to him from many countries that settled in Bolivia that worked with him. And they mentioned Mr. Joachim Fiebelkorn, the one I spoke of before, who worked with Licio Gelli, who came from Germany, who was connected to the Hoffman Military Sport Group, and Herbert Copland, K-O-P-L-I-N, a former SS member. And Fiebelkorn was linked to the Bologna bombing. He was with Licio Gelli, the common denominator, along with Della Chiae, of planning bombings, terrorism in Europe. And they come down there to work with Klaus Barbie in Bolivia because that is a place ripe for cocaine traffic, so the international Nazi group can do well through the cocaine traffic. And then Pierre Pagliai, I spoke of him before, who's now dead. He and Della Chiae and Fiebelkorn, all involved in the Bologna bombing, who sat in Monte Carlo with the Grand Master Licio Gelli, are setting up death teams down in South America and in the cocaine traffic and working with Klaus Barbie, who works for the Central Intelligence Agency of the United States. They all are involved in their links to Licio Gelli and the Monte Carlo, these men with the Monte Carlo script, where they met in April the 11th in 1980, to plan a particular bombing of a train station. Then they go down to Klaus Barbie, who's the advisor to Colonel Ars Gomez. Barbie's working for the United States. He's working for Henry Kissinger and Fritz Kramer and John McCloy and the entire network. Alan Dulles was kicked out in 1961 by John Kennedy, November 61. Kennedy didn't trust him and said, "There's a hidden government behind my back." But Barbie was down in Bolivia for 10 years, setting up the arrangement so that when John Kennedy was murdered, they would get Richard Nixon in, and then they were home free, and then the drugs would flow from Iran and Southeast Asia, and Klaus Barbie and the international fascist Gestapo would be swinging in exchange for Nixon's long desire to be president of the United States. Now, these people were all working with the fascist international outside Bolivia, and they had the shipping company. As I see, I said before several weeks ago, their allegations that George Bush was with Klaus Barbie in San Francisco in 1980. We're still trying to check out where those pictures would be and if it was true. But Della Chiae headed the Italian and the Spanish fascist organizations and went to Bolivia, and Mr. Rega in Argentina had his AAA, and Klaus Barbie had his Bridegrooms of Death. Now, Klaus Barbie, according to New Times, had a second career besides shipping, besides the ships and the arms shipments, and being chief of the security advising in Bolivia or serving the CIA. His second life would be incomplete, they said in this article, if it didn't include the lucrative cocaine. The rapid rise of his sawmill was just part of the cover for the CIA. He transferred enormous powers to South America through Operation Tierra del Fuego, G-U-E-G-O. Now, Klaus Altman worked closely with Fritz Schwend, S-C-H-W-E-N-D. Schwend's name surfaced at the time of the Hitler diaries, and I'll have to update you on that story. He was a master forger after or during the war. He counterfeited banknotes, and he was a forger for the SS, and he worked with Klaus Barbie down in South America, and he had all of his contacts from during the war and around the world and with the Central Intelligence Agency. Remember the book that came out last year, just a year ago tonight, called The Vatican Connection, and it's about the forgery of stocks and various papers to make millions of dollars for Paul Marcinkus and the Vatican banker personally for Marcinkus, a very important book, The Vatican Connection. Well, Schwend was working down in South America and Bolivia with Klaus Barbie so that in order to keep their finances rolling besides the cocaine money, there could be forgery, counterfeiting, and so forth. Now, the cocaine in Bolivia, as of 1982, Barbie was arrested in January of 83, cost $8,000 in Bolivia, about $8,000. In the United States, it was $80,000 before processing, if you bought it in the United States. After processing, it's worth $200,000, so that the profit is tremendous in the cocaine business, and 100 tons minimum are shipped annually from Bolivia alone to the United States, up through Miami and through the network that goes directly to the President of the United States and the former President and the Hollywood connections and many corporations that are secretive about their funds that are tapped into this lucrative business. The powerful cocaine clans are described in this article in their relationship to Klaus Barbie or the Jelly connections. There are three that they describe. One is the Jose Gasser, G-A-S-S-E-R family, the George, spelt with a J, J-O-R-G-E, Rasuk family, R-A-S-U-K, and Roberto Suarez Gomez. And he was related to the former official, of course, of Bolivia, and Klaus Barbie worked with all of them. And the New Times describes how they operate the cocaine connection. The production of coca was in the hands of the Chavez brothers from Montero, Bolivia. It was transported in raw material by Colonel Louis Arce, A-R-C-E, there's a Gomez on that, Gomez. The National Committee for the Defense of Democracy passed it through Klaus Barbie with German advisors and political people high up in power in the Bolivian government. And then the clan leaders are handled by a Louis Vallee, V-A-L-L-E, and several other people. And the function of bridegroom of death, set up by Klaus Barbie and the goon squads from Germany and Italy and Spain, had two purposes, political and commercial, working both with the CIA. The CIA had an agent, William Adger Moffat, M-O-F-F-E-T, working with them. He also worked with the notorious Haitian Tonton Macoutes, T-O-N-T-O-N-S, M-A-C-O-U-T-E-S, some more death squads in Haiti. And in 1978, he plotted against the left government of Jamaica. So you have here a network of fascists from Italy and Spain who fled Italy, fled Spain, who are involved with murders in Italy and around the world with their meeting places, the Grandmaster, Licio Gelli, sending his agents then down to Bolivia and working with Klaus Barbie, who has a shipping line, who ships weapons, tanks, guns, who teaches interrogation and murder, keeps the people down, keeps them peasants, exports the cocaine. The cocaine buys the Nazi rifles and the guns and supports the fascism. Really, the only way to end this cycle is to end the drug cycle totally. And if the poor victims or customers of the drug market had any idea of what they are getting, they're getting a double death warrant. A, they buy the drugs that don't do them any good, and the drugs support the fascism that is not going to do them any good either. So one quick note before we finish, as long as Licio Gelli walked out of the Swiss jail, I might mention that Michael Townley was released from the American jail just this last week, 2 weeks ago, the end of July, 1983. Michael Townley was responsible for the murder of Chilean Ambassador Orlando Letelier and Ronnie Moffat in Washington, D.C., written up in the book Murder on Embassy Row and in other books. He was responsible for the murder in Argentina in September 30th, 1974, of car bombing death of General Carlos Prats, P-R-A-T-S, and his wife, Sophia. He has worked with Edwin Wilson and the Central Intelligence Agency, and he's the fellow who I mentioned was described as working at Colonial Dignitad, a haven for Nazis between Chile and Argentina, who literally quartered people and sent them down the river. Licio Gelli walked out of the Swiss jail. Michael Townley is out of the American jail after these many mass murders for our government, and they're out walking the street somewhere tonight. But in the meantime, as long as they're not around us, we'll keep studying and researching and hope they don't ring the doorbell and say, here I am, okay? We're safe one more day. Anyway, it's Mae Brussel. This is KAZU-FM. I'll be back with you next week. You take care and keep reading those books and articles and sharing them with all of us. Send them to me and your friends, and we'll share this together.